Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, I mean it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What a joy to come together like this. Amen. Like ons is soos 'n hond met, what do you call that stuff, mange. Soos hare wat, soos 'n ou wat bietjie bles raak, soos hulle uitgestrooi hier vanaand, die mensies. But it's wonderful. Thank you for being here tonight. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for our visitors that are with us tonight. May God really bless you, and may this really mean something to you, what I'm going to share with you tonight. I just sense, because we're going into a time of celebration, well, we already kind of into it. There's so many things that happens in this time. You know, we got this, ons het hierdie vakansiegees wat ons beetvat, né? And it is like a lot of you, can I see who's on holiday at the moment? Yes. Well, bless your own cotton socks for being here tonight. Amen. Well done. Praise God. May your stockings be full for being here. Amen. May God bless you. Wonderlik om julle hier so by ons te hê weer vanaand. Amen. I want to just get straight into the service. I don't have a very long word. It could stretch, you know. I never know what the Holy Spirit's going to do, but may He do what He's going to do. I want to talk to you about a gift wrapped up very simply. Or another way of putting it, a gift simply wrapped. Because there was this incredible gift that God sent us. And He didn't come with pomp and ceremony and all of this wonderful stuff that you would expect. You see, when the President of the United States or Russia or France or England or one of those oaks arrive, it comes with pomp and ceremony. When the Queen arrives, man, the roads get done, the protection gets put into place, and everybody is op horings, want die groot kokkedore is hier. And you know, when Jesus came, He came humbly. And there's a great purpose for that, because God was trying to tell us something. Amen. He was simply wrapped. I love the scripture, and it's not up there, but it was just something that I thought about in my inner room this afternoon, praying there. Just listen to these beautiful words, Paul writing to Timothy. And I say, Bruder Timotheus, I say, listen here. He says, beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. The mystery of godliness is great. Ek weet nie wat is nou mystery. Ek probeer dit nou dink terwyl ek so praat. Maar ek weet nie wat is 'n mystery nie. Ja, so net ek omtrent 10 dinge gehoor, but anyway. Hy sê the great beyond all question, the mystery of godliness, die goddelikheid is mysterieus. Hey. Yo. Drink a water on that. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. Listen to what he says here. He appeared in a body, little baby, in a manger. He was vindicated by the Spirit. That word vindicated in Afrikaans word, hy was geregverdig. In English, vindicated means to give credibility or to be backed up. He was given credibility and he was backed up. Hy was in die Afrikaans, hy was geregverdig deur die Heilige Gees. And then he said he was seen by angels. He was preached among the nations. He was believed in the world. And he was taken up into glory. Jesus, I'm going to preach. My Christmas message is, don't leave Jesus in the manger. I believe it's going to be really touching for many people. You know what I think about Christmas season? Now, this is like a prelude to the Christmas morning service in 2 days' time or a day's time. But listen to this. Christmas is a necessity. It's on your newsletter. But think about it for a minute. There has to be at least one day of the year to remind us that we are here for something else beside ourselves. You know, we can be so self-centered. We say we for others and everything, maar as my ou lewekie bietjie omgekrap word en dit raak nie meer lekker nie en almal speel nie die game in my familie of om my nie of my vriende of die werk of something, then ons raak ons 'n bietjie omgekrap, né? But you know what, to just pause and come in this season and say to ourselves, right, there's something greater than me that is being celebrated right now. And that celebration, His name is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And I always say, it's not so much when he came, but the most important thing is that he was born and that he did come. You know, people are debating, was it September? And they look at the calendar and they get so many light years and so many moons and so many stars to the left, and they wear a zoroscope. And that's my own name for a scope. Zoroscope. Sounds good. Sounds like technical. But they get all of this stuff and they get the whole, you know, Paul says, don't get yourself involved with so much genealogies and philosophies, because therein lies a lot of deceit and wrong. Amen. So aren't you just happy that Jesus did come? Amen? Doesn't matter what the day. You see, when it comes to the season, we are so drawn into the glamour of Christmas, the glitz and the glamour of Christmas. And it is like that, but the glitz is fine and it creates a very nice atmosphere. You know what I mean? You walk in the in the shopping center and you can hear Boney M. going, what? Little Drummer Boy, and what's the other one's name? You know that Boney M. thing? Well, I can't remember this. I had the song in my head, now it's gone right out of my head. But thank you, Jesus, for that. But Jesus himself, listen, he arrived in plain wrapping. That's why the people today don't really choose him. And there's a good reason for that. You know, when Paul writes, he writes this incredible story, this Christmas gift from God. A Christmas gift to humanity. That's what it was, this incredible gift. And listen to what he calls this gift. Paul puts it this way. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15. He says, now thanks be to God for his gift. And listen how he explains this gift. The Amplified amplifies it beautifully. He says, now thanks be to God for this gift. It's precious. It's beyond telling. Jy kan het verduidelik, maar jy kan het nie eindelijk verduidelik nie. Amen. Dis die wonderlijke gave van God. This gift God gave us. He's indescribable, inexpressible. And what kind of gift? Say free gift. Free mahala for nothing. Jesus came free. There was no price attached to it. God sent his son Jesus to come into the world, to die for us, to pray for a price. Our salvation is free. It's the free gift of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that just so amazing? You see, we live and the shops get done up, and I'll talk a bit about that on Christmas morning, but it's like that. You already see, they're already getting closer and closer to chaps, the people. The shops already start getting this Christmas look about it. It's amazing, yeah, in sunny Kaapstad, they put snow in the windows. Hey, like you felt it was like snowing today, didn't you? I don't know if somebody's in America listening to the sermon of mine now, but lekker kry koud, ons kry warm hierso. But enjoy the snow, let it snow, let it snow. But there was a bit of spark. Now just listen to this beautiful stuff. We were up in the prayer room now, and Walter starts praying, and I was going to grab his mouth and shut him up, because he was preaching, he was praying my sermon already upstairs there. So can you believe the cheek of this oak? But I skim, he was watching my notes there, Walter. But listen to this. He says, this is Luke 2 verse 8 through 13. He says, and in that vicinity there were shepherds living out under the open sky in a field, watching in shifts over their flocks by night. You know, we can somebody said they were washing their socks by night, but that's probably that too. But they were shepherds. And it's exactly what Walter was praying tonight. Because you see, when you understand, the lowest form of any occupation was a shepherd. Because you didn't have to be too bright to be a shepherd. Okay. You just talk check your sheep. And then when the lion comes, you run like blazes. Not like David. I mean, David, someone took him on. But the point is, it's the lowest form. Now, isn't it amazing when God sends Jesus into this world, he doesn't make an announcement and go to the royalty and go to the tabernacle or the tabernacle and speak to the high priest and say, listen, I'm now here. This is me. I'm here. He doesn't do that. He goes to the lowest of the world. Isn't that so? Absolutely. We must catch that, because there's hope for us tonight. Amen. No matter, we were hopeless in our sin and we were lost and we had no hope, but yet Jesus came for you and for me. Amen. This wonderful event that takes place. They were watching over their sheep by night, over their flock. He says, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord flashed and shone all about them. And they were terribly frightened. I would have been too, because they'd never seen anything like this. They just saw koppies and droeland and skape and bome. All of a sudden, they see this incredibly large angel. And the angels are big, eh? They're giants. He says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, listen to this, I bring to you good news of great joy, which will come, listen to how many people? How does that say? All people. Aren't you happy that was said? Because guess what? We are all people. All people, to the whole humanity, Jesus came. What an incredible, and what did he bring? They brought, listen to this, not like average news. No, they brought good news with great joy. Let me tell you, 2,000 years ago, here we are, 2018, December. It's still good news and it's still great joy. When you really know Jesus, it is really great news and it really is great joy. Amen. So I just love what it says over here. Then he says, for to you is born this day in the town of David a Savior. This was in Bethlehem. Listen who he is. He is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, Emmanuel, God with us. Eh? And this will be a sign for you by which you will recognize him. How will you recognize him? You will find him after searching a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. That swaddling, I thought, just like that must be like a old rimpy or something. No, it's just like a luppy. It's like a luppy that moms rub babies in, nice, keep them tight so they don't get too ungemakkelijk. So it was wrapped in this cloth and laying in a manger. The manger was the thing where the cows came and ate off and the sheep came and ate off. That was the only place. And reading some of the stuff, I'd like to say there was no room for them in. You see, Bethlehem wasn't a very big place at that time. They didn't have like a 5-star and a 3-star. You know, they could have gone and stayed in the Hilton. You know what I'm saying? But there was no room. And so they went to their family. And their family obviously had a barn at the back where they could stay. And so they yoked the cows out and then they gave them place to stay. That's more or less what might have happened. And yeah, the baby, for a crib, they put him in a little manger. How humbling and how low is that not? So they find him, he says, you will find him, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes in the lying in a manger. And then suddenly, I love those suddenlies, say suddenly. Man, I love the suddenlies of God. They're like, you're not expecting anything. And listen to, and suddenly there appeared with the angel an army of troops of heaven, a heavenly knighthood. And what they were doing, praising God. I mean, you talk about spectacular. Can I say this? Not even Tiger Valley or Century City or America. We were there in 2015 when they switched on the lights there at the Empire State Building and they had the music songs about snow and all of this lekker stuff that old Michael Bublé sings and that other who sings the anthem of hell. What's his name? Whatever his name is, that other oak. That song he sings, you know, I did it my way. Frank Sinatra, you know, the anthem of hell. He says, did it my way. You know that. But they sang all these beautiful songs and they set this beautiful atmosphere. Let me tell you, nothing that we could do could compare with that spectacular event when God made his announcement. But he doesn't do it on pomp and ceremony. He does it in a little manger. Hallelujah. God's not yet a choir image, man. God loves us. And he loves us to be humble and he loves us to serve him wholeheartedly. He came down to the guttermost to meet with you and I. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? They found a humble gift. They didn't go looking for pomp and ceremony for a prince or for royalty when they went to look for Jesus. They knew exactly where to find him. And so Luke 2 verse 20 says, and the shepherds returned after seeing Jesus. And listen what happened. Glorifying and praising God. And what did they glorify and praise God for? Listen to this. The things they had heard and the things they had seen, just as it had been told them. Tonight I want to ask you, what about you? Are you still excited about Jesus? Do you still praise and glorify God? Or don't you do that? Has your praise kind of got a bit of a backseat? Do you still worship God? Do you still put on a CD and cry and enter into his presence? Because the Bible says, they were excited, they were rejoicing and praising God. Why? For the things they'd heard and the things they'd seen. What have you seen and what have you heard
that God has done for you in your life? What have you seen God do in your family's life? Do you still praise and glorify Him? Amen? Is that still on your heart to do that? So God meets with the shepherds, but He has another story. And I just want to bring some correction here, because a lot of people, when we look at the nativity play, that's the baby in the manger, and then the shepherds come and so on. You know the story. Like the clip that went around with the little girl when the little baby Jesus in the thing, in the little crib over there, and she grabs the little doll out there and she decides, I'm not giving this back. And so the other kids grab her, so they're fighting over Jesus. But she wanted to take the doll and duck out of the show over there. It's quite a hilarious little clip. But yeah, these shepherds have seen them. Now here's something very, very interesting. The wise men are led to see Jesus. Now, in many of the nativity plays, you see the sheep there, and then you see the wise men arriving by Him in the manger. Now, that's not exactly what happened. Do you know that? So I don't want to burst your bubble here, but that's not exactly what happened. They did go see Jesus, but you see, when you look at chronologically the time in which they saw it and they were still watching the star, they'd seen the same star that the shepherds saw. They were these wise astrologers, and they looked at this stuff, astronomers, should I say, and they were watching it, and they'd walked, and they went to Herod, and they said, there's this king, and he said, hey, if there's a king here, and he's going to be a king greater than me, he says, we better sort him out. Remember, he said, and every baby 2 years old and down would have to be killed. So these guys arrived a little bit later when they came to Jesus, the wise men. And the Bible doesn't say there were three wise men. They said they were wise men. There could have been five. Amen. Yes, nou sê hulle, wat jy daai goed gelees, pastoor? Gelees jou Bybel bietjie, jy sal hoor. Now, this is what the Bible says. Matthew 2, verse 10 and 11. It says, when they saw the star, they were thrilled with ecstasy and joy. There was something unique and special about this. God was speaking. And on going into the house, not in the manger, not where Jesus was lying in the manger, they went into a house where Mary and Joseph were. Then they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And what did they do? They fell down and worshipped Him. You see, when you connect with Jesus, there's only one thing you can do, is fall down and worship Him. That is just one thing the human can do. The moment you encounter Jesus as your Savior, let me tell you, that's all you want to do. Amen. Yes. Okay, am I just getting excited myself here? But it's all right. Me and you, Jesus. And they fell down and they worshipped Him. And then listen to this. And then opening their treasury bags, they presented to Him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Some of those big words for the Boere Oaks to gooi. Myrrh. It looks as a spiel, but it's not. And frankincense. They bring out gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, let me just say this. It's quite unique because they take it out, and that's what they had with them to give as a gift to this king. Let me just say this. Firstly, and it's up there, gold was a gift of a king. Gold represented kingliness. Guess who was lying in this manger, or in this house, in this bed, or wherever they saw Jesus? They saw the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They didn't really realize this, but they knew there was royalty here. Amen. Now, isn't it significant that they gave Him gold? And so then the next one gives Him frankincense. Not Frankenstein, it's frankincense. Frankincense was burnt in the temple with the priests who were mediators between God and people. You see, Jesus took up a priestly role. He became our high priest. He came and He stood in between man and God, and he suffered and He died, and He became the high priest that entered into the heavenlies, seated at the right hand of the Father tonight, and He's interceding for you and I. He is our high priest. When they brought the frankincense, it was representative of the one, the King, who would come and stand in between God and man for you and for me. Isn't that unique? And then they gave Him myrrh. Myrrh was a sticky, smelly substance also used. But myrrh, and there it is, was used as an anointing oil, was also symbolic of death. So what it represented is the fact that the king who came to stand in between man and God would pay a price, and myrrh signified death. They used to embalm the bodies with myrrh. and it had a good fragrance to it. It took that fruit smell of flesh out. So, you know what I mean? So that's why they used the myrrh. But it also signified the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So it spoke of the full authority of God, the King who came to stand in between, who would die for us, who would then send the Holy Spirit into the world to come and lead and to guide us into all truth. Isn't that just like so amazing what God did? Amen. I hope you've seen that before somewhere. You know, and it got me thinking about Jesus and him dying and my the simple service, God wrapped up very simply, or simply just wrapped up simply. He has the thought. Even today, so many people are in search of something or someone to fill their spiritual emptiness. They still have difficulty accepting the simple and yet profound Christmas gift of Jesus. People want something more, something different. And that's why you have to have places where you can go and you can worship statues and do stuff to make it that it's not only Jesus, it's Jesus and. And let me just tell you, it's only Jesus tonight. That's a problem. People cannot take this thing, the simplistic of it. People look for something complicated, maybe something glamorous, something to satisfy their own image of Jesus instead of trusting the one who alone is trustworthy. Ek wil die Here dien, maar ek moet sekere dinge doen. No. It's a free gift of God for our lives. Amen. People complicate their lives. It's just tragic what people do. And yet God, through the prophet Isaiah, prophesied, and he prophesied these words. And I want you to take these words for you tonight, so that you put your trust in Jesus. Listen, Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "Fear not," say with me, "fear not." It's God speaking to you tonight. He says, "There is nothing to fear." He says, "For I am with you." Isn't that Emmanuel? God with us? I am with you. Do not look around you in terror. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will harden you to difficulties. Isn't that fantastic? He didn't say, "I will take away your difficulties." Did you hear that? He says, "I will strengthen you in your difficulties and with your difficulties." Hey, he'll make you calloused against the things that are coming at you. But will you have things coming at your life? Yes. Will you have health problems, financial problems, family problems, probleme kinders? Yes, you're going to have it in your life. Jesus said in I think it's in John 16:33, I think it is. John 6:33 or John 16:33. But where he actually says these words, he says that you're coming to the world. He says you will have trials and tribulations, Archer, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So he says of here, God speaking, and he says, "I will strengthen you, I will harden you to difficulties." And on the other, you can get through whatever you're going through, church. He says, "Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up. I will retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice." We don't have to rely on a man to get us through. God will get you through what you're going through. Just have faith and trust in this awesome, incredible God. You know what I've seen? Instead of trusting the Word of God, we allow our hurts, our hardships, our frustrations, our failures to be controlled by our actions and not by God's Word. So many people, and it amazes me, the Christians, as lewe lekker is en het gaan goed, yes, dan kan ek al die skrifte quoteer. But when the crisis comes, when the confrontation comes, when you've got an issue in life, a health issue, a confrontation, a problem with somebody else in your life, or whatever the issue is, then we go back into the flesh and we attack and we have grudges and unforgiveness and bitterness and all of this stuff. Instead of doing what the Word says, because when you begin to do what the Word says, the one who promised to be with you will guide you through that, and he will bring peace into your situation. So many Christians are walking around with no peace in their hearts because they're carrying, even into the season now, bitterness when the Prince of Peace has come and he died so that we can have peace. Amen? So we need to know that for Christian believers all over the world, this Christmas gift that came in a plain wrapper is indeed the most indescribable, inexpressible gift to you and to me tonight. Aren't you just so thankful tonight? Aren't you just thankful that we can be together this like this tonight. This simple, uncomplicated, generous gift came to do many things, but I just want to use two of them. Number one, to uncomplicate our lives. Jesus came, please hear me, to uncomplicate our lives. How we through ignorance and disobedience continuously are complicating our lives. Amen. Yes, like people can be complicated, eh? Whoa, complicated is the word here. Complicatie, man. There's not even the right word there, what I will say there. Jare, give me a word. But people can be so, you make a mountain out of a little molehill, yeah. I also just want to say this, and just thinking about it tonight. You know, sometimes we go through problems, and we have issues in our lives. And you know what, when you start thinking about your problem, and you put it there, and you put it there, and you put it there, and you think, God, I can handle this with you. But you know what we do wrong? We take them all together, and we build this berg, and we say, my lewe is vrot, ek kan nie meer nie. Nee, jy kan. Maar jy het nou stupid genoeg al hierdie goed op een geplak. Because your life is not bad. Your life is good. Did we not sing it tonight? It is well with my soul. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Amen. Lek my julle wil my nie geloof in hom, maar dis die waarheid. Prys die Here. He came to uncomplicate our lives. When we have him in my life, he brings wisdom to run my life. Amen. And secondly, to deliver us from sin and from bondage. Is it nie wonderlik nie? People are complicated and they live in such bondage. Ek dink mense like om so 'n bietjie in 'n bondage te lewe. Dit kan nie waar wees dat die Here my heeltemal vry kan maak nie. Here, ek like so 'n bietjie van hierdie pressure. Geef my so 'n bietjie pressure dat ek ook so 'n bietjie my eie ding doen nie, so Here. Moenie alles vat nie. You know, hold back here, Lord. You know, and I also want to suffer a little bit. I also want to go through a little bit of heavy stress and anxiety and frustration. Don't take it all away, Lord Jesus. Hey, listen, we don't say it, but we act like that. Amen? And God's come to uncomplicate our lives. He came to deliver us from sin and bondage. You know, the very message of Jesus when he walked on this earth says this, and I used the scripture last week. Acts 10 verse 38 says, how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with what? With the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. And what did he do with that strength, that power, and that consecration? And can I just say this? If you're a child of God, you've been anointed and strengthened with ability and power and consecration. Amen. So I receive that. And you know what he did? Which we're supposed to be doing. How he went about doing good, and in particular, curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil. All who were. You'd be surprised to know, Christians might not be possessed, but let me tell you something. There are so many Christians that are oppressed by the devil because we give him access into our lives. He's defeated. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. He's been delivered. Start speaking it. Start acting the word. Start living the word. Why? Because you can look at that manger and know that Jesus came. And that's what I want you to say. He came for the guttermost, for the lowest of the low, the shepherds. But isn't it amazing how God allows the very high echelon, the vase manne van die wereld, the oaks who knew everything, people they looked up to. Isn't that amazing that they would come and give gold, frankincense, and myrrh? So what God is saying to you and me tonight, from the guttermost to the uttermost, I came for everybody and in between. There's not one of you that is separated from the love of God. Amen. He came to carry us through difficulties. He came to carry us through hardships. Amen. You believe that? You see, tonight as you sit here, I told you it's not going to be a long sermon. Yes, Lord, I think I better preach a bit longer here now. It's a bit short. Your choice is fully this, to trust Jesus, to carry you through, and to have a confident assurance that nothing will separate you from His love ever. Ever. You believe that? I want to give you a scripture on that tonight. Because tonight we think about, and on Tuesday morning we're going to celebrate Christmas, and we celebrate over this incredible season that God has made possible, that this verse that I'm going to read to you now can be a reality. Die feit dat Jesus gekom het, die feit dat hy opgestaan het uit die dood, this makes this possible for you and for me tonight. Listen to this beautiful scripture. But I want to first read to you Romans 5:35 before I read Romans 8, verse 37. But listen what verse 35 says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble separate us from the love of Christ? Or hardship? Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. Isn't that? Who will separate us from all of these difficulties and the issues of life? And then Paul says this by experience. Listen to what he says. Romans 8, 37 through 39. Yet amid all these things, which things? These things that he said, shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword. He says, yet amid all of these things, and they're coming at you. Listen, all of these things. We are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. Is it nie wonderlik nie? We just don't gain a victory, we gain a surpassing victory. So a victory is here, we go beyond victory. Jy is meer as 'n oorwinnaar vanaand. Why? Because of the one who came into the manger. His name's Jesus. Listen to this. For I am persuaded beyond doubt. He says, I don't doubt this stuff. He says, I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor the hell and all of the travante, principalities, nor things impending, which simply means something that is about to happen. Is there something about to happen? We don't know if something is about to happen. Something bad, something negative, whatever. He says, no matter if there's things impending, there's bad news going to break forth, and we do get those, and we have those in life. He says, nor things impending, nor things threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is it nie 'n wonderlike belofte vanaand? You can go into this season knowing that there's a God who loves you more than you can think and understand. Paul calls this Jesus an indescribable, unexplainable, incredible, beautiful gift. Have you received this gift tonight? I want to encourage you tonight to receive his gift. It's free to all who will come. It's as easy as that. It's as simple as that. I don't know if there's somebody that has never made a point of receiving this incredible gift. You know what is always so amazing? I'll probably mention this on Christmas morning service, so you can hear it again if you come. We expect to have a lot of people here. But here's the thing. Even the Muslims and even the Buddhists who own shops, they go their shops full, eh? Happy Xmas. They cross Christ out of Christmas. But they make a buck on the Christians. Amen. They even celebrate Jesus. There's not anybody in the world, even in China, behind the bamboo curtain, who don't want to believe. Even they have the spirit of Christmas upon them. You know why? Because the world will rejoice for the wonderful day when God came into humanity and he died for you and for me. Everybody celebrates this wonderful season. May we celebrate this wonderful season. May you understand tonight that his love will never be separated from your life. Come, let us pray and close our eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we're just so overwhelmed by your goodness tonight. Thank you for what you did on the cross. Thank you that you came, Jesus. And even at this time, Father, where we debate, many debate your coming, I just want to thank you, Lord, and I stand in the gap on behalf of us as a church tonight and every visitor and everybody listening on CD. We want to thank you, Jesus, that you did come. Lord, irrelevant what day you came, but the fact is you did come. historically Jesus did come. It is historically written. We thank you that you did come. That little baby in the manger, that you came, Lord, and you revealed yourself to the shepherd, but you also revealed yourself to the wise men. Lord, symbolically, there is nobody that is that you cannot touch, save, and change. Thank you that you came into the world because you love us. This is love. While we were still sinners, Jesus died. Thank you that you poured your love into our hearts, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, that you're with us, that your name is Emmanuel, God with us. Father, I pray over the church tonight that the reason for the season, Jesus, will be the one that fills our hearts. In Matthew 6:33, that says, seek first the kingdom of God, the things of God, and all these other things will be added unto us. May we be seekers of the kingdom of God first. May we always, Lord, fall in love with Jesus all over again. Oh, we just want to tell you that we love you tonight, Lord. I just want to ask tonight, while your eyes are closed and nobody's looking around, maybe there's somebody here tonight and you want to give your life to this Jesus. We just want to make that opportunity available. If there's anybody here that says, I want to give my life to this Jesus that you spoke about. I know about Jesus. I know him historically. I see him in the shops. I see him on the cards and everything. But I've never had a personal relationship with him. If that is you and you're sitting here tonight and you want to make that commitment, just slip up your hand so I can see where you are sitting. I want to give my life to Jesus. Is there anybody here? Say, Lord Jesus, I want to commit my life to you tonight. Here ek wil u dien. Ek wil my hart vir u gee. Is there anybody here tonight that want to say that? Precious Lord, I will assume just by saying that tonight, everybody that is here, I love saying this because it's the truth. If Jesus, this very Jesus we celebrate in the manger, you know, when he comes back again, he's not coming back into a manger. He's not coming to be beaten, ridiculed, insulted, and hung on a cross. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to fetch his church. To fetch every born-again believer that is trusting him, everyone that is washed, everyone whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How do I get my name in the Lamb's Book of Life? One way only, and that is to give my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a religion. God het jou nie, Jesus het nie gesterwe dat jy 'n goeie kerkmens moet wees nie. Ek sê mos altyd, if you sleep in a garage, you're not a car. You don't turn into a car. If you come to church, you don't make you a Christian. You've got to become a Christian. You've got to ask Jesus to come into your life. So if there is anybody and you've never made that decision, or you've half gebak made that decision, may God's Spirit speak to you tonight that that would be speedy in the future before Jesus comes. May God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Aren't you excited to know Jesus? Isn't he wonderful? Amen. Praise God. We're going to close off with the last.